do the first two songs.
Okay.
And it is four verses.
Okay.
And then he does have pray, and then we do the other end, stand up, and then.
Do three verses of it.
Just three stand up, and then first verse.
I agree.
Oh, I didn't have better than that, sorry.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Praise at Liberty Baptist Church. Good to have you here this morning. We're missing quite a few folks. Some are traveling and some are sick. I know Lindsay said this morning that she's got two kids with ear infections, so keep them in your prayers. I know Phyllis is traveling and some others, so keep them all in your prayers. Donna's pipes busted last night, so see. Oh, does she? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay, absolutely. I've heard that's very, very painful. So keep her in your prayers. Absolutely. Barbara Adams' brother passed away this week. He'd been in a nursing home for quite a while. So Barbara asked for prayers for their family. I know the House family had one of the family members test positive for the virus. So they probably are all in quarantine, so keep them in your prayers. My daughter, she tested negative, but she has all the symptoms, and the nurse said she thought it was just a false negative test, so she probably does have it, her and her husband both, so they're in quarantine at their house in Fort Worth. So keep them in your prayers. Kathy will be going to have an echocardiogram and a heart cath later on. They found out this week that she apparently had some kind of heart attack a month or so ago. So keep Kathy in your prayers as well. Other prayer requests? Any other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Is he home or? Okay. All right. Greg and Jan, who are traveling, they're down there helping their son and daughter-in-law move. They have a friend who is a pastor, lives on the East Coast. They just had a baby taken by C-section a little bit early. The boy's 5 pounds, though, so he's not too premature, but he has spina bifida, and he's undergoing a major surgery today to close up that hole. So keep them in your prayers as well. Okay, any other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. That's right, because yes, July's almost on us. Yes, it is.
She's struggling with my dad not being there with her because they said he would have to drop her off and come pick her up. So she's struggling with that, and I think daddy is too.
I'm sure. It's going to be a Baptist South? Okay, all right. Anybody else? All right, well, again, glad that you're here today. We're going to go ahead and start with Kids with the King. And as usual, with our social distancing regulations, we're not going to let any of the kids come up front. But I encourage you to watch closely. And then those of you who are watching later by electronic means, pay attention to your monitor, because it may be a little hard to see some of the things we're going to do today. We're continuing to talk about the wonders of God's creation and how God's creation shows forth His majesty. The verse of Scripture we're going to be looking at today comes from John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So then, we're talking about Jesus as the light of the world. The light of the world. But we're going to talk about a special or a different kind of light today, but a light that God created, just like the sun. We have the sunlight shining through here. God created the sun. We enjoy starlight and the moon at night. Now, we know that the moon is a reflection of the light from the sun, but God created all of these forms of light. But there's some other light we're going to look at here, called luminescence. Now, that's a long word. What does luminescence mean? Luminescence is a light that comes from inside something that is not reflected of sunlight. It's not reflected from light as we know it here. Now, the first kind of luminescence is fluorescence. Now, I don't really have an example to show you, but I'm going to give you an assignment. If you're watching by video, you can get a bottle of tonic water, and if you have a black light, you can go into a dark room, cut the light out, and turn the black light on, and the tonic water will glow in the dark. Now, that's because the tonic water contains some phosphorus-type compounds that when they are irradiated with the ultraviolet radiation of the black light, they give off light. Now, I could have Donald, or I could, right here, cut on some lights. Now, these lights are LEDs, but we used to have, what we used to have in here? Fluorescent lights. So, fluorescent lights, another example of a fluorescence. What's in a fluorescent light? It's gas. And when it's excited by the electricity, it gives off its own light. So that is a fluorescence. Well, what is a phosphorescence? A phosphorescence. Well, a phosphorescence is the same kind of idea, except when these materials are exposed to light, they will glow longer. What happens with the fluorescent light when you turn off the power? It goes out, right? But a phosphorescence continues to glow. Now, Gracie allowed me to borrow one of her Frisbees. This is different from her regular Frisbee. This Frisbee glows in the dark, but it only glows in the dark once it is exposed to light. So if you go outside and you have a flashlight and you shine it on this Frisbee, it's got little compounds in here that are excited by this light. And then when you take the light away and you can't see it too well, you see how it glows in the dark? That is phosphorescence. Well, there's another kind of light. Chemiluminescence. Anybody ever seen any of these? What's this? What happens when you snap it? You mix two chemicals together. And you think, oh, this is magic. No, it's not magic. It's God's creation. These two chemicals put together produce a chemiluminescent light, and it will glow for hours without, you can cut all the light out, and it'll still glow. It'll glow in the dark. But the favorite one to me is the last one. It is bioluminescence. Now, anybody want to take a guess what a bioluminescence is? It is something alive that produces light. Anybody in here ever chase fireflies, lightning bugs? Man, we used to run out and catch them in little jars and stuff. A lightning bug is an animal that God's created the ability to mix some chemicals in its abdomen, and when it does, they glow in the dark. You ever heard of glow worms or dismalites? Those little creatures produce chemicals that glow in the dark. There is an algae that lives in the water in the Gulf of Mexico in the South Atlantic. That it's a small algae. You can't see it with your eye. But in the warm times of the year, July, August, and September, if you're out on a moonless night when it's really dark and you put your hand in the water and shake your hand, the water will glow, sort of this color, a little bit bluer than this. But we were on a kayak tour in that area in August one year. And every stroke of the paddle, the water glowed in the dark. The wake of the kayak glowed in the dark because these little tiny algae God created to make their own light. So Jesus said that He is the light of the world, whether it's sunlight, whether it's chemiluminescent light, or any other kind of light, He is the real light. And we need to reflect that light to a lost and to a dying world. We live in a world that is filled with darkness. We need to shine the light of Christ's truth and His love. And it's my prayer that each of you know Jesus Christ, and the light that He gives you will shine out of you just like this little thing right here. Amen. All right, Brother Michael.
Good morning. Hope everybody's having a great day. Notice we have over here, like I said, Jan and Greg are out of town helping their son move. This is Vanessa Gray, and Brother Larry and I both know her. We've known her for a while, so make her feel welcome. We're blessed to have her here today. With that said, let's stand, sing all together, when we all get to heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. Sing it out. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory on the second. While we walk the pilgrim's pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And the third, let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And the last, onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Good job. Now, I'm going to be nice. You can be seated because we got four more verses of this song. So I don't want to wear you out too much. So let's sing all four verses. My Jesus, I love Thee. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I loved Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. The second, I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on Thy brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee in life, I will love Thee in death, and praise Thee as long as Thou lendest me breath. And say, when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love Thee, my Jesus,
last in mansions of glory and endless delight. I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright, and singing thy praises before thee I'll bow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Amen. We'll look around, wave to everybody, blow a kiss to everybody. Can't shake their hands or hug them, right? But you can do all that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time together, for your love and your presence. And we pray, Lord, when we tell you that we love you with all of our soul, our heart, our mind, and our might, we pray that those words are not empty words that we just prattle about, but that, Father, they are an accurate reflection of a life, of a heart that is surrendered to you. We pray indeed, Father, that in this dark, desperate time that we live in, that we will reflect your light and your love to a desperate and a lost and a dying world. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to gather together in fellowship and in worship of you. Lord, thank you that you've given us the sunlight, S-U-N, but also the sunlight, S-O-N. Father, as the plants, as life here needs the light of the sun, we also, as people, desperately need your light in our lives as well. Father, we pray for these we've mentioned this morning and so many others that remain unspoken, and yet we trust they're known to you. We pray that you will work in lives and situations, that you would restore health and strength, that you would heal relationships, that you would provide financial needs, Lord, jobs, whatever the need is, as desperate as the need may be, we know that you are the answer. We welcome you here today, Lord God, in the person of your Holy Spirit, to receive the praise and worship that you alone are due. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next song, Stand Up. Stand up for Jesus. See, she got the word. Okay, everybody, let's stand up as we sing it all together.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army he shall lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting.
And the last,
stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be.
Good old singing today, good old standards. Remain standing, as Brother Larry says, as is our custom here. We would like to honor all service members and first responders, so let's sing all together. America the Beautiful. And,
oh, beautiful for spacious skies, waves of grain for Purple Mountain majesties above the fruited place.
Sing it out.
America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
And you may be seated.
Father and God, again we come to you and pray that we'll open our hearts and our minds this morning to your truth, that we will allow you by your Spirit to infuse your truth into our lives, and that, Father, we will take that truth and we will utilize that in our lives each and every day. Lord, we pray that we will be your people in all that that word entails, that we will display your love and your light, that we will be involved in the ministry of your church, that we will be your salt and your light, that we will allow you to fan the flames of revival in our own lives, in the life of your church, and that from your church that fire might spread out into the community and indeed our nation. Lord, we desperately, desperately need your light and your love. I pray, Father, that you forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here this morning. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. By way of announcements, don't forget that the little basket in the back to my right, your right as you go out, is for your offering, which you can drop in the basket as you go out today. So we're going to be starting a small series today talking about life and love, and we're going to be looking at the little epistle of 1 John. 1 John. So now the whole verse, every verse I'm reading will not be on the overhead since we're looking at the whole chapter there. So let me encourage you to go ahead and take your scripture and find 1 John. 1 John is over near the back, right after 2 Peter, before you get to Revelation. So 1 John, if it will help you out, it's page 1398 in my Bible. I don't think that will help you out a whole lot, but that's where 1 John is at. So let's look now at 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. And the word is capitalized there. That is the living word of God, who is Jesus. That's right. Jesus Christ. Now, you would have to be a hermit on a deserted island somewhere in a cave to not know about what's going on in the world today. I personally don't look at the news very much because I get too mad. It raises my blood pressure probably. So most of the time I get my news by checking the websites quickly and going about my business, because it just gets under my skin. Because we obviously live in a dark and a desperate time, amen? There is little light, little truth around us. We live in the information age, no doubt. If you need to know anything, you take your smartphone and you Google it, right? And you get all kinds of information. With the preponderance of information, though, we find that there's little truth and even less wisdom. Because we learn from God's Word that wisdom is not about the accumulation of knowledge. Wisdom is about the application of the truth of God to life. There is a huge difference in amassing knowledge and applying wisdom. You may have heard the term an educated fool. We have a lot of educated fools in our day and time because they have a lot of knowledge, but they have very little wisdom. God tells us in the book of James, which we just looked at not too awful long ago, that if we lack wisdom, if we need wisdom, where do we go to get it? We ask God for it, because God is the giver of true, real wisdom, because he is the giver of life the living Word of God. So let's keep looking here. That which we have, which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the Word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So who or what is he talking about here? He's talking about Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, the Logos. We're going to look at three things today. First and foremost, go ahead. The first thing is Jesus Christ from the beginning. Now, we celebrate the birth of Jesus when? Christmas, yes, December 25th. But we see that Jesus did not begin his existence on December 25th. Now, verses 1 through 2 in the New Living Translation puts it this way. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is, again, capital W, he is the Word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about a testimony about these people, John, the others, who were with Jesus, who saw Jesus, who experienced life with Jesus, but they realize, and God is telling us in his word, that his plan from the creation included the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. We see as we look in Scripture that the creative person, if you will, of the Godhead is Jesus Christ. He has existed before things. He exists today, and he will exist forevermore. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus Christ is the same because he is indeed God Almighty. But you see as well, based on the Scripture, the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus Christ. The New Testament is telling us about Jesus Christ. And then Revelation basically is telling us what we have to look to watch for his coming back again. This entire verse, these entire verses of Scripture point to Jesus, tell us about Jesus, or point to the return of Jesus Christ. It is all about Jesus Christ. That's why we are called Christians, Christ-like. And Scripture is clear over and over again that a relationship with Jesus Christ is part of the plan of God for your life. God created you, God created me, God created everyone that has ever lived, that is living today, or that ever will live. God has created each one. Each person is unique. They are a unique creation of God, and his plan for each one is that they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, everyone is not going to do that. It is our choice. You see, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we separate ourselves from God, Scripture tells us that the wages of sin, what we deserve because of that sin, is death. And that the only way to be restored in relationship with God, as he intended from the beginning, is through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. You see, we were made for him. Do you realize that? We were made for him. And if Jesus Christ is not in your life, if you don't personally know Jesus Christ, then there is a huge gaping hole in your life, and you may try to fill it with all kinds of things, occupations, recreations, whatever the case might be. You may spend a lifetime pursuing something that you never know what is, and then realize at the end of your life you never got it because you never found Jesus Christ. It is amazing to me. Now, I've heard preachers call it the white knuckle syndrome. that there'll be people in churches sometime, they'll stand in invitation and they'll grip the back of that pew so hard that their knuckles turn white because they just will not, they will not give it up. They will refuse to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. And He is not going to make you do that. But I promise you, if you do not yield your life to Jesus Christ, it will not end well. There is no remedy after life. There is no "I meant to." There is no reboot and restart. You've heard the expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It will matter little, in fact it will matter none, if you intended to come to church, if you intended to surrender to Christ, if you intended to be saved, that will not matter. Intentions do not matter. When you stand before the throne of God, and we will all give an account, either at the great white throne judgment or at the judgment seat of Christ, we will give an account. And if we stand before the great white throne judgment without the blood of Jesus Christ, then whoever you may be, you will stand only clothed in your righteousness. And God's Word already tells us that our righteousness is not enough. Not enough. The resulting verdict at the great white throne will in every case be the same. Depart from me, I never knew you. We may spend our lives in pursuit of pleasure, riches, prestige, all kinds, and we may get it. You might become a billionaire. But I promise you, if you leave this life without Jesus Christ, it does not matter if you have amassed a massive fortune or not. You will not take it with you, and you will not be with Him. The pyramids of Egypt, massive structures, massive edifices built to the glory and splendor of the Pharaoh, filled with gold and treasures and all kinds of stuff for Pharaoh to take with him to the afterlife. Guess where all that gold and silver and treasure went? Grave robbers. Some went to museums, but the Pharaoh didn't take any of it with him. And we won't take anything with us as either. The only thing we will take with us is what we've done for Christ. We were made for Him. And you and I will never, ever, ever be complete without Jesus. You won't be complete. If you leave Him out, you will lose your life. That's as plain and as simple as I can put it. If you leave Jesus Christ out of your life, you will lose your life. Now, will there ever be days in your life that are fun and happy? Sure there will be. Because remember, happiness is dependent upon circumstances. You may be happy today and not happy tomorrow. Joy is independent of circumstances. Joy comes from the fruit of the Spirit of God. Joy is only going to be there if Jesus Christ is there. And joy will be there in spite of what's happening around you. Paul and company sang and worshiped and praised God from a dark, dank, dungy prison cell because they had the joy of the Lord. Scripture says, for the joy. Jesus went to the cross for the joy. What joy is there in dying on a cross? The joy of doing the will of the Father and the joy of what's going to be accomplished for you and for me. So the first thing we see here is that Jesus Christ, from the beginning, the Word of God, the living Word of God, which lasts from eternity past to eternity future. Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. Secondly, the light of Jesus. The light of Jesus. If you look on down here in verse 5, This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Look at that. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. How many times do you see individuals who say they know, who say they are walking in the light, but it is evidence from looking at their life that they are walking in darkness? And friends, all you got to do is turn on your television to see examples of our culture. Our world is walking in, no, it's not walking in darkness. It's running around in the darkness, headed over a cliff, looks like. And then we have a clue where they're headed. How many times have you got up in the night in a house that you've lived in all your life, maybe, and you know where everything is at, and you don't turn on the light, you're going to go somewhere, I don't know, wherever you're going, and you stump your toe on something that's been there forever? Why did that happen? Because I can't see. Because we're stumbling around in the darkness, even though we ought to know better, even though we ought to know what things are where, we can't see. And the result is we stumble over stuff. That little flashlight I have over there is the one I carry at work. Now, I work in the power house most of the time. There are two power boilers, two recovery boilers, and two turbines that generate enough electricity to power Prattville. We generate our own power. But I don't ever go out into the mill without a flashlight. Because guess what happens sometimes? A turbine generator trips or something happens. And if you are in the bowels of the powerhouse where there are no windows and the power goes out, what do you think happens? Pitch black darkness. And you got to have light. You got to have light. I carry a flashlight and I have a little flashlight or a little light thing on my helmet as well. Because I don't want to be halfway down coming from the 11th floor and the power go out with me on the stair somewhere. We have to have light to be able to operate. We can't see in the dark, can we? Not very well. I remember as a kid, first time I ever went out deer hunting with Dad. And Dad knew where he was going. I didn't know where we were going. I couldn't see anything in front of me. It was pitch black dark. And Dad wouldn't turn on a flashlight, but I could see enough of Dad's silhouette that you've heard about being somebody's shadow. I was his shadow. Because what little light there was, I was making sure I could see him and follow him. Scripture says we must walk in the truth. The only way we can walk in the truth is if the light of God is shining and showing us. Because the world doesn't have the truth. The world has anything but the truth. Now you can ask folks, you can ask people in the world, and they'll tell you what you need to do. If you have no idea what you need to do, ask somebody. They'll tell you. They'll tell you what you need to do, but you better check. I'd a lot rather get my guidance from God than what somebody thinks I ought to do. People are going to have opinions about what you ought to do. And most of the time, they're not going to like what you do no matter what you do. You realize that, right? You're not going to make everybody happy. The only person I'm concerned about making happy is God. Follow the truth. Well, to follow the truth, you've got to see that truth, right? Well, that truth comes from God, the light of God. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. If you want to see, to navigate in the darkness, in the doubt, in the despair, and in the death, you better have the light. And I don't mean a flashlight. I mean this light right here. Now, my friends, this light is going to do you no good if it stays like this all the time. If it's on your shelf, not going to do you any good. Even if you've got a Bible app on your phone, if you don't open it and read it, it's not going to do you any good. Because you see, the Word of God, listen to me now, the Word of God that's contained in the pages of this book will do you no good unless the Word of God, the truth of God that's in here, gets in here. And for that to happen, you got to spend time in it. You know, I remember Michael growing up, and Amber, when we had to take tests, ACT, SAT, and all that kind of stuff, there was a move about back then. I don't remember who first came up with it. I forgot what they called it. But basically they said you could put headphones on at night. Michael's laughing because he knows what I'm talking about. You could put headphones on at night and play these tapes, and you could learn in your sleep. Somebody got rich off that stuff, I could tell you. But you know what you learned? That you couldn't sleep very well with noise. It don't work. Don't work. I saw this science fiction movie one time where this dude from outer space could take a book and he'd run his hands over the front and the back and he knew everything was in the book. That don't work either. They don't make a Bible pill. You can't swallow a one-a-day vitamin. You can't swallow a one-a-day Bible pill. It doesn't work. The only way for God's Word to get in here is for you to open the Word of God, either in the physical paper or electronic media, and read the Word of God. Oh, Pastor, I plan to. Well, that's good. I intend to. One of these days I will. When is that day going to come? I walked out one day. Actually, it was in the evening. And noticed I had a low tire on my truck. And being the on-the-spot person that I am, I said, I'll get that in the morning before I go to work. Guess what I found when I got up in the morning? A flat tire. Had I aired it up that afternoon and taken it on, I took care of it then. Well, what I wind up having to do, air up a flat tire, miss an hour or two of work, take it on and get it fixed. Because I was too lazy to take care of it. I intended to. Y'all are laughing because you've done the same kind of thing probably. I intended to. But the intentions, the tire didn't care about my intentions. That nail in the, it didn't matter. When we stand before Jesus, it is no defense to say, I intended to read your word. I intended to apply your truth. Did you? Third thing, the fellowship of Jesus Christ. You know, he tells us here, let's go on down to verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Scripture is clear that God desires a fellowship with us. Now, let me make sure you understand there is a difference between relationship and fellowship. Now, what is the difference? Number one, we are all created beings from God. God has created every one of us. Yes, that is true. God is the Father of His creation. Yes, He is. He acts fatherly toward all of His creation. But we are only children of God when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because when that happens, we become adopted sons or daughters of God. If that has not happened, then we are not children of God. As a matter of fact, we are followers of Satan, and we are in rebellion. We are enemies of God. You only become a child of God when you've been adopted into the family of God. The day you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to save your soul, to be your Lord and be your Savior, then you have a relationship established, and it is locked in. You are a child of the King. You can never be not a child of the King. However, Jesus secures the relationship. What Jesus Christ did for you secures the relationship. You and I are not saved because of what we did. We are saved because of what Jesus Christ did. Amen? So He secures the relationship. But whether or not we have a fellowship, a walk of fellowship, is on us. Now what do I mean? Relationship Jesus established the moment we're saved. We're a child of the King. A fellowship is like a friendship. We desire Him. We desire to walk with Him. We desire to learn more about Him. We desire to please Him. We desire to be used by Him. You see where I'm headed? We spend time with Him. That's a fellowship, and that's on us. I intend to spend time. I intend, that don't work. If you've got a best friend, and you know how younger folks can text with their thumbs. I can't. That's the way I text. So if you text me, it may take a minute to get a reply back because I have to do it like this, right? But I know the girl next door talked to my office. Man, she's fast. She can do it with two thumbs. And my daughter's even faster. She can do it with two thumbs. But if you have a best friend, I'm sure you spend time with that best friend, don't you? And if you can't physically spend time, you know, we've got the social distancing thing going. If you can't physically spend time with that best friend, I bet I know what you're doing. You're calling them or you're texting them every day, multiple times every day. Well, let me ask you, is Jesus Christ your best friend? And really, would He know He is? How much time do you spend with Him? If He had a phone, would you be texting Him all the time? You see, fellowship with God is what He designed it to be from the beginning. Scripture tells us in Genesis that Adam and Eve every day spent time hiking, I call it. They were hiking with God. Every day. Do you spend time every day? I didn't ask, did you intend to spend time every day? But did you spend time? Let me ask you, if your best friend, if all of a sudden your best friend quit talking to you, they didn't call you, they didn't text you, they didn't hit you up on Facebook, none of that. You never heard from them. You didn't see them. So you send them a text. You say, is something wrong? They say, no, everything's fine. You say, do you still love me? Yeah, I love you. But they don't talk to you. They don't spend time with you. They don't go where you go. What would you think? Would you think they still were your best friend? And you say, well, they said they were, but they don't spend any time with me. What do you think? Now, yes, I know Jesus knows our hearts. Would you be satisfied, though, if your best friend said, I intend to spend time with you, but when that time comes, they don't? If your best friend called you and said, let's meet at such and such place for dinner, and they didn't show up, what would you think? You see, fellowship with God is walking with Him daily. Not just on Sunday, not just on Easter, Christmas, and other special occasions, but every day. Every day. You don't talk to your best friend just one day a week, do you? And then Scripture says that if we have fellowship with Him, His Spirit, His love, His light shines through us, and we can walk with others with that same love. Christians, there ought to be a difference in us, visible to the world, not because we're so good, but because Jesus Christ is alive in us. The church is not the building. I'm looking at the church. The living, breathing body of Christ. Does the world know that Jesus Christ lives in you? If you're walking in fellowship with Him, then you're going to be like Him. Walking with others in that love is only possible. In fact, as a matter of fact, 1 John tells us we love others because He loved us first. That love of God ought to build up, fill us up, and spill out and slosh all over everybody else. You look at the news and it looks like there's no love in the world, and there's not. Oh man, the world talks about love. They talk up a great game about it. But when it comes down to it, I don't see any love at all. All I see is hate, selfishness, self-centeredness, death, darkness, and disorder. And my friends, that's only going to get worse. We are called to be the salt and the light. We need to do that. I was out late yesterday evening. Took Gracie out in the backyard with a frisbee, of course. And in between throws of the frisbee while I was waiting for her to run back with it, I got to noticing across our neighbor's yard, a bunch of trees back there. It was getting pretty dark in that area back there. But even without my glasses, I could pick out lightning bugs because it was so dark in there, that little tiny light showed up immediately. We live in a dark, dark, dark world. Does the world see the light in you? If you know Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that you've never sinned, because we know we're just sinners saved by grace. But if we've been saved, we're not going to live a lifestyle of sin. There's going to be something different about us, and that's going to be the love and the light of Jesus Christ. The truth should shine through us. The place you work, where you go to school, whatever it may be, people ought to see something different. You ought to talk different. You ought to act different. You ought to go to different places. Not because you're good. Not because you never sinned. But because you have the light of Jesus Christ in you. Here's your compass point. God's message is one of light, love, and life. But let me ask you, do you know Him? Not did you intend to, not do you plan to, not do you know somebody else who does, but do you know that you know Jesus Christ? Do you know that you know if you died today, you would spend eternity with Him? Let me ask you, are you walking in His love? Maybe there's been a time in your life that you did ask Him to save you and you were saved, but you have not followed Him in fellowship. You've let distance grow between you. And He's not happy about that, and I'm sure you're not either, really. Will you ask Him to restore that fellowship, to renew what He started in your life, to rededicate your life to walking in the light? So I'm asking you, do you have the real deal? Do you have real life? Do you know what John is talking about with the Word of life, the light of God, and the love of God? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your love and Your blessings. Thank You for the light of Jesus Christ, the truth, the living Word of God that You have given us. and that if we know you as our Lord and Savior, lives in us. Father, I pray for those here today and those that will hear my voice through electronic means. Father, may we examine our lives, examine where we are, and allow your Spirit to convict us of sin. Lord, to convict us where we're not walking with you. And Father, no matter what our intentions may be, help us to understand that today is the day. Not to put it off till tomorrow, because tomorrow may not come. That today is the day that we must make our decision. That we must surrender our lives to you. That we must ask you to forgive us of our sins, to save our souls, to help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. Father, days are dark and the days are evil. The days are filled with death and disorder. And we have only the time that you have given us. And we don't know how much that is. We need to redeem the time because the days are evil. We need to make our decision and follow through today, not putting it off. Help us to understand the urgency of the moment. Father, thank you for giving us another opportunity to be here, to worship you. Lord, help us to take this time, to take this message, and to use it for your honor and for your glory. Father, the altar is open. We are your people. Help us to make decisions and changes in our life according to your will and your way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand, please? The altar is open.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him. Now He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now.
Amen. Thank you for being here today. And man, I let you out 2 minutes early today. Wow. I can't believe that. 11:58 back there. That's awesome. So Vanessa, I'll let you out by 12 o'clock. How's that? Any other announcements we need to hear before we dismiss? I can't talk. Don't forget, we're talking about Vacation Bible School in September now on Wednesday nights. So keep that in mind. We still got the shirts ordered, I guess. We'll have them ready for you by then. I had to cancel the mission team as well because of all the numbers of the viruses here and in Kentucky. We'll just have to wait and do it hopefully in 2021. So it's been a good week. I trust you'll have a good week this coming week as well. Continue to pray for each other. Pray for Miss Liz. I know I've not had shingles, but my mom did, and that's pretty rough stuff. So keep her in your prayers. Okay, anybody else? All right. Don't forget
one more time.
Offering back there in the little basket.
When we all get to heaven, just the chorus, let's sing it all together.
we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be now. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory and have a great afternoon.